I've been helped this week. I have been helped. I'm so thankful for preaching that is from the Word, because when you get it from the Word, it's going to help you. You might not always like it, but it's going to help you. I'm thankful for the sensitivity of Brother Olson. I actually asked him to preach a different sermon, and he shot me down. But he said, I think this is what God wants me to preach. I'm like, I probably should defer to God on that topic, on that issue. So I'm very thankful that he was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And Pastor Mitchell is always a blessing. I'm glad and happy to call him my pastor. And I love his preaching. It's always loaded with content. And I've been helped. Pastor Burke, thank you. I'm looking forward to tonight already. And you have helped me, teens. It's really encouraging to be around teenagers that at least fake like they're loving the Lord. And then there's some that love the Lord. It's even more encouraging. I've been helped to work with these guys down front. They have made my job so much easier. And the sound guys, holy cow. We'd be doing like the old bus games, you know, back in the 1980s, where we're just holding the card up and it wasn't exciting, but these guys have made it happen. I'm thankful for that. This week has just encouraged me, and I kind of have too much to say, so I've asked the Lord to just make it happen and let Him do what He wants in your hearts, because I have struggled through my life with this idea of I can't. But I think we've been encouraged to understand we can. But with that in mind, I guess the purpose of today is to kind of issue a warning. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 15, and we'll start here, we'll end here. Samuel is speaking to Saul, and he says, "When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king of Israel." And I want that little phrase, "when thou wast little in thine own sight." I remember kind of being upset, Brother Fletcher, a little bitter, because I didn't get to grow up in a preacher's home. I didn't get to grow up in a deacon's home. Now, I didn't. My parents are sitting over there. I want everybody to take a look over there. I got some awesome parents. But I just didn't have the right mindset. I wasn't thankful for the parents God gave me. And instead of doing what I should have done and just loved on them and appreciated them, I kind of pushed against them too often in my life. And so I had the bitterness, if you will. I wasn't raised up in a Christian home. And to be honest, I really wasn't that good of a teenager. Don't ask too many people that have been around here long enough. They'll tell you all about it. I wasn't really that outgoing of a person. Believe it or not, I kind of was in the shadow. I was known as Bill's brother. Some of you might know my brother. It was just like he was good at everything. He would lift weights, and it was like 8 times as much as I would lift. And his penmanship was better than mine. And his looks were better than mine. And his muscles were bigger than mine. And all the way till he left, it was like I thought my name was Bill's brother. Like, you're Bill's brother. And I kind of lived in the shadow, and I kind of, to be honest, I kind of shrunk back from doing things because I just couldn't do it. And then, I don't know, about 16, 17 years of old age, the Lord began to work in my heart, and I landed somehow on that guy in the front row, second seat in, Mr. Edwards' bus route. The man has not changed. As crazy as he is now, it was worse when he was that age. We won't go there. But I was about 16, and He kind of did some things, put me out of my comfort zone. He taught me what bus visitation was. He taught me how to run a program. Now, I don't know how I got thrust up here to lead songs. I can't sing. And so he's like, you're going to do the program. You're going to lead the songs. So I'd get those visuals, and I'd like stick them in front of my face, say, kid, sing. Even to this day, where's, is Sarah Grab in the house? There's Sarah, Ashley Muller. Is she in the house? All right. I'm running my bus route, and I say, we're going to sing such and such. Girls, go. I don't start because I don't know if it's on key, flat, sharp, in beat. I have no idea. I have support. Thank you, girls, for doing that. But I was intimidated by a lot of things, but I got on the bus route, and I began to serve. And then I believed that God was kind of directing my life into ministry, and then I'd sit in chapel, and I'd see these guys come in. I could just flat preach. Can't do that. And I'm gonna be honest. I just didn't know, what am I doing? This is nonsense. And they'd come in, they'd preach, and they'd exposit and exegete. I couldn't even spell that. And I'm sitting back thinking, what am I doing? And my worst grade in college was, we called it pulpit speech back in the day. And I like to tell people this because I don't like to get up in front of people. I've got 12 pages of word-for-word notes. Because you make me nervous. My cousin Philip's back there nodding his head because he and I don't like to get up in front of people. To this day, I hate it. But God wants me to do it, so I rely on him. And I got up and preached my first sermon, and I grabbed a hold of the pulpit, and my teacher videotaped us. He said, I want you to watch it. And I remember thinking, I did a pretty good job, and then I started watching it. And the entire time, I was seasick after like 2 minutes. And I'm be honest, I'm just telling you my testimony because sometimes you kind of look and say, wow, they can do this. And my wife's sitting back, she knows I'm stressed. I don't want to eat 3 days before this. And when Pastor Mitchell said, can you run in power? I'm like, no, but yes, and I'm stressed. And it's not just natural, folks. We need God. We need his help. And I'd watch these guys come in, I'd sit back and say, man, I can't do that. And then as I got a little older, I said, where is Pastor so-and-so or Brother so-and-so? And I get an answer of such, well, they're not in the ministry anymore. They fell away. And that discouraged guys like me because I'm thinking, if they can't do it, there's no way I can. And then God directed my steps into evangelism, and I remember going to my pastor, and I was like, man, I can't preach like this guy. And every evangelist family is supposed to know how to sing. Some of you guys have been to your church, you never said, hey, the Ramuses, it just doesn't happen because you're going to get a strong negative pretty quick. My wife's unbelievable. If you want to sign her up to come sing special music. All right, sorry, she's looking at me. Give me the daggers there. But I remember going to my pastor's office and saying, I think God's leading me to evangelism, and I can't preach like this person, and I can't do this, and I can't do this. And he kind of gave me some pretty good advice. It was concise and to the point. He said this, shut up. Sorry if your parents don't allow your kids to say that. That's what my pastor said to me. I was probably 26. He said, shut up. Brother Aaron, that caught my attention. God doesn't want you to be them. You just be you. That was good advice. And I began to ask the Lord to help me. And I'll be honest, I have declined preaching opportunities. I'm not comfortable there. Somebody just a month ago called, hey, we'd like you to come preach on a college, university. Nope, that's not me. To this day, there's some things I can't. I've probably missed opportunities. Shame on me because I haven't trusted the Lord. So we keep plugging along. And so what I want to just challenge you with this is, yes, understand that with God's help you can, but you had better be on guard that you don't get lifted up with pride. You better keep the mindset that I am very little when it comes to the work of God. This church does not need Eric Ramus. The world and the young people that are sitting before me does not need Eric Ramis, but there comes a point when you start to think you're bigger than you really are, and it starts on a downward slope. I'm going to warn you today because you've heard, I can, I can, I can, I can, but you better never forget, it's through Christ. It's through Christ. I've been impressed by the competition that some of you have done. I've been impressed by how you carry yourselves. I've been impressed by some of the things that you can do, but you better never forget to stay little. Stay little. That's my warning. Let's pray. God, I need you today. I've asked for your help. I believe this is what you want me to encourage the young people with today, and really for me. Help us to look at your word and see how you had to put a man on the shelf because he didn't stay little. I don't want to get put on the shelf. I don't want to be set aside for somebody else. I want to be used by you. And there's some here today that have said, I can, I can, I can. But when they go back, I trust that they would stay little. Help us today, I ask in Christ's name, amen. I don't know how you do things at your church, but when a lady in the church has a baby, there's a little sign that goes down on the front desk. And it's just interesting, the sign says how long they were and how much they weigh. I'm glad we don't continue doing that process. Can you imagine? It's like, all right, Brother Ramis, today is none of your business. All right. And it's kind of all cute. And that's like, ooh, how long were they? And how much did they weigh? They were 8 pounds and 4 ounces and blah, blah, blah. But there's an emphasis from that time that there's an expectancy that that child is going to grow, right? I mean, if they're still 8 pounds and 4 ounces and 21 inches long at 5 years old, we understand that there's a problem. Now, I think midgets are pretty cool people, but I don't want to be them. And I'm not bashing on midgets, I'm just saying, they're kind of cool. I like when they get on skateboards. We had a guy years ago, came to college. He was like 5 foot, 4'11", something like that. He would ride around campus on a skateboard. He was kind of cool, just to be honest. His name was Gabe. I remember one time he was sitting down in front, his watch went off in church, and our pastor says, you know what, take your little skateboard and take that watch out. It was kind of funny. But just the idea, midgets are kind of cool people. But I wouldn't want to be a midget. There's an emphasis on growth for kids. We kind of put growth charts up, that type of thing. Emphasis on boys. We talked about this already. You go to the weight room. Some of you say, I've been lifting. We can't tell. But others, you say, you know what? You walk around. You will kind of want everybody to know that you've grown. And it's just interesting how, you know, you might inflate yourself. I don't know, like, you know, you walk around like girls, like, wow. Impressive, can I say? It goes from here and it goes down pretty quick. Just a warning, just so you know. But there's a desire. There's an emphasis that if you're going to go to the workout room, you want to progress in growth. When you play on the basketball court, I feel for guys sometimes that are shoot and shoot and never make a basket. Easy for them to walk away, and you're like, oh, you know, just probably a good idea. But you kind of expect if you're going to shoot long enough, after a while, you should be able to make one or two or three. There's an expectancy for progress. In the music world, when those little ones start, where's Brother Lang? He's over there somewhere. You guys like music a lot, right? And I can imagine you start your little ones pretty early. It gets ugly, doesn't it? But there, Mrs. Lang, oh, if you only knew. I've been there a little bit. I just leave the house. It's just easier for me. But just the idea, you kind of expect them to go as three-year-olds or four-year-olds to make some progress. And again, as I listen to competition, it's pretty impressive what can be done. I'm thinking, how in the world? They have five fingers and there's 43 things happening in there. I can't figure it out. But we expect progress. We expect growth. Business world, there's profit. And you expect that. And much effort goes into the next level, doesn't it? But what about the Christian life? Why is it that we get upset when our pastor and our parents and our leaders expect a little growth? I think some of you that you've been in church all of your life, you probably should know your Bible a little better than you do. Now, on purpose this week, if you haven't noticed, we've really emphasized characters. You heard about a character this morning. I think Pastor Burke said nobody knew who John Taylor was. And maybe there's one or two, you're just kind of afraid to raise your hand. To be honest, I didn't know much about James McGranahan. And we talked about Moses and Aaron. We talked about different characters throughout the Bible. Let me come down here. If you can get the fact that God has a plan for you, quit worrying about his plan for me, quit worrying about his plan for him. God has a plan for you. You matter to God. And throughout the scriptures, there's a whole heap of names that has a story behind it. I'm excited that one day there's going to be a story about Elias Reardon, and I sure hope it's a good one. I hope there's one day we can sit back and say, there was a Nicole Schrock. Hopefully that name will change pretty shortly, and she'll have a different name at the end, of course. But I hope that we can look, and people 100 years from now, if the Lord can tarry, can stop and say, she just served the Lord. She was faithful. I've grown to love people. I try to get your names if I've blown it a long week. I'm sorry, because I understand. I want you to know, to me you matter, because I know to God you matter. And you say, Brother Ramis, you haven't called me out. You hadn't made fun of me. I just haven't got around to it, but I'm going to try. Sam, all the way from Florida, I just met him, but God has a plan for your life. And you read through the scriptures, you see all these names that we can't pronounce, but there's a story behind every single one of them. And I'll say this, if you stay humble, God will continue to use you. But man, I'd love to see some teenagers have some victories. Because when you start to win, you start to enjoy what you're doing. I promise you, if you lead a person to Christ, you will want to do it again. If you see God answer one of your personal prayer requests, I promise you will want to do it again. I promise if you're door knocking and somebody comes out to church and they walk the aisle, you'll say this, I want to do it again. And I tell you what, when you're not happy, when you're not seeing results, it's easy to walk away. That's why a lot of our young people are walking away from the house of God, because they're in homes and they're in churches and they're missing out on the victories that God has for them. When was the last time you had a victory? We tell kids, we tell new Christians, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll... Well, we kind of heard about that yesterday. And some of you wrote it down yesterday. And hopefully when you leave, you'll understand there's an expectancy. Are you with me to grow, grow, grow? John writes about it. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, as Jesus is speaking, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Jesus says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Jesus wants us to bear fruit. God is glorified when we bear fruit. Don't you want to bear fruit? Peter says, add to your faith. And he gives us a whole list of things to add. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be put on the shelf. I just want to keep being used by God. It's really an awesome life. And some of you guys, grab a hold of this. God wants to use you. He wants to use you. Young ladies, he wants to use you to be in the ministry. You have a vital part in raising kids for the next generation. You say, well, I'm not sure I can handle being a pastor's. I'm not pastor's wife. I'm just talking about being a mom that loves Jesus, that is faithful to church and raising 3 or 4 or 23 kids for the Lord, however you feel led. Let's just say, every young person, 200 plus, got right with the Lord this week. Wouldn't that be awesome? Every young person this week got right with their parents. Wouldn't that be awesome? Every young person this week got right with their pastor. Wouldn't that be awesome? All of you. And you went back to your designated places, and revival began to happen. Things began to happen. The youth group started seeing people saved. The church is like, what in the world happened at Empowered Youth? Those people did something. They put something in the macaroni and cheese. No, you just say, we got right with God. The preaching stirred our heart, and something begins to happen wherever you're from. But I'm going to say this. I hope that happens. I hope there's progress, but you had better stay little. Moody says it this way, be humble or you'll stumble. George Washington Carver, you might know his name. He said this, when I was young, I said to God, God, tell me the mystery of the universe. But God answered, that knowledge is reserved for me alone. So I said, God, tell me the mystery of the peanut. Then God said, well, George, that's more nearly your size. And he told me. There's some things that we just not cut out to be and not cut out to do, and that's okay. Stay little. I think back of, I don't know, close to 50 years ago. Somebody invited the Ramos family to church on a bus route. I don't know who those people are, but I can't wait to meet them one day. This changed the direction of our family, glory to God. Again, I think back to my parents. I told you, my dad was unsaved most of my childhood through my teen years. But he understood, he directed me towards the things of the Lord. I don't know why, but God used him to direct my life towards the things of the Lord. He says, you know, I'm not going to put you in the public school. I wanted to go to public school. He says, nope, you need to go to church. We had a big TV sitting in our living room. He says, nope, sometimes you guys just need to get outside, go play, do something else, read a book. He kept me from a lot of things. I thank God for parents that pushed me towards serving Jesus. I've had three pastors in my 47 years at this church. All three have corrected me. They've chided me. They've prayed for me. They've encouraged me. They have pushed me. And I stop and say, glory to God for these men that have stepped in my life. My wife's sitting in the back. I'm not a real sappy guy. She has put up with a whole bunch of nonsense from this knucklehead up here. We'll be married 25 years. I do some dumb stuff. Please don't say amen. I just go, 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 and sometimes she has to rein this knucklehead in. Glory to God for my wife. People throughout this auditorium, friends, even this morning, I don't know, 5, 6 people sent me a text that, Eric, we're praying for you. We're praying for you. Now watch me. I say all that because I want to give honor and glory to him. Because when you start to say, I don't need that, I start to say, hey, I can handle this on my own. Listen, I'm getting to the point where I'm getting a little too big for my breeches. We better stay little. 1 Samuel chapter 9. We are going to get to some scripture, and I want you to stay with me. It's a morning service. I told them I'd be done between 11:30 and 11:45. I changed that to 11:45 to 12, so sorry about that. We read about Saul. Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight. Somewhere he lost it. Somewhere he got to the point where he felt like he was pretty good. But I stopped. A lot of times we say the name Saul and we put a thumbs down because we say, oh, Saul was bad. Saul was bad. But I tell you what, he didn't start out so bad. Look at verse number 1. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of, yes, the son of yes, the son of yes, and the son of yes, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. So we have here just his home. And I'll tell you what, we've kind of already talked about it. Can I say this? Never get too big to be thankful in your life. He had a good home. That's been talked about. I'm not going to dwell on that, but I know some of your parents. You got some good parents. It'd be a good idea if you stopped to say, thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad, for the blessing that you've been to me. You say, that's kind of not cool. That's the problem. We aren't supposed to be cool. We're supposed to be thankful. That didn't go over so well. You need to love on your parents today. I don't think our pastors and leaders, if you went after the service, said, you know what? I'd like to have my phone for a minute. Oh, what are you going to do with it? Well, I'm going to gonna call my dad and I'm gonna get right with him. I think they'd let you have your phone. I gotta call my mom and make some things right with them. I think we'd let you have your phone. And some of us, we feel like our parents are our enemies. And Saul, we have, his dad was a mighty man of power. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 12. I'll be honest, I've read through the Bible. This one I've kind of skipped. David, real quick, 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Keep your finger in 1 Samuel chapter 9. But he had a good, seems to have a good home. At least he had a mighty man of power as his dad. He had a strong dad. But then we had his heritage, I see. Look at verse number 1. Now these are they that came to David to Ziklag while he yet kept himself close because of Saul, the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. They were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow. Notice, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. So David gathered these guys, kind of a guy that's his enemy. We'll look at in just a little bit. And he's got some guys that weren't just good with their right hand. They were good with their left hand. They weren't good just shooting on the right side. These guys were experts, and Saul was part of a group of men that knew how to fight. Can I say, if you have a church that's taking a stand for God and knows how to fight, be thankful. Things are changing. It's getting softer. It's getting looser. And as we heard, we don't need Aarons. We need some Moseses that are going to stand up. And if you have grandparents and parents that are fighting the battles, say glory to God. Because if you don't, you're on a bad path. His heritage, his home. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 2. Stay in chapter 9 from this point. We'll kind of work our way through some things. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 2. So this is Saul we're talking about. And this mighty man of power had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. And that word goodlier, goodly, it's not a word that we use very often, but I'll say this. I just kind of look at some words. He was well, he was favored, he was gracious, he was kind. All these words I kind of looked up, they're all thrown in there. He was pleasant, he was sweet, he was good looking. He had some physical appearances that were impressive. And it really wasn't because of what he had done. It was his appearance, that idea of goodliness. And again, I stop and I look at some of you and I look and say, wow, they seem like they've got it together. Be careful. Be careful. And you get up to sing and everyone's like, wow, all right, that's wonderful. Be careful. You'd better stay little. Never get too big to be thankful for your upbringing. Look at verses 3 and 4. So Saul's father sends him on a mission. He says to Saul, take now one of the servants with thee and arise, go seek the asses. And he passed through Mount Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalim, and there they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not. So never get too big to obey. This is not deep. I'm not preaching in an academy chapel, but I'll say this. You start to get to the point where you can't obey those in authority. You're on a bad path. What's happening is you're getting too big for your britches or for your skirt. His dad says, go find the donkeys. He goes. He doesn't find them here. Guess what he does? He continues to go, and he doesn't find them there, and he continues to go, and he doesn't. Doesn't that sound a little bit like Joseph? And it's interesting to me. Watch me close. Look here. If you obey, it just might put you in a good situation. Saul just went to find some donkeys. And as he was out and about here and there and here, all along the way, God starts speaking to the man of God and says, hey, there's a young man. He's going to show up, and I want you to anoint him king of Israel. Joseph just went to check on his brothers. It didn't start out so well, but he ended up in a pit. He ended up in prison. But where did he end up? It ends up in a palace because he just said, I'm going to obey my dad. David says, I'm going to take some cheeses and I'm going to go check on my brothers. He shows up. There's a battle or supposed to be a battle going on. He's like, hey, looking around, no one's fighting. I guess I will. And all of a sudden they start singing about him. All I'm saying is you have no idea what God can do if you'll just simply learn to obey. I wonder if I let your parents come up and testify about your obedience. How quickly you would shoot out of this auditorium. Shame on you. All right, we're going to do this. Teenagers, when I say shame on you, I want you all to say amen. Shame on you. Amen. Obedience. Look at verse number 5. Never get too big to have concern for your parents. Is this too deep for us today? Look at verse 5. And when they were come to the land of Zoph, Saul said to a servant that was with him, come, and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us. I sense a little bit of a guy's like, you know what, we've been gone a little too long. My dad might be concerned about us. You know what? He was thoughtful about his parents. Did you know? Look here. Did you know sometimes your parents have bad days? I got to come down here because Belly is sleeping. Josh is sleeping. Evan was almost sleeping. Brian always sleeps. When was the last time? James, can I pick on you? I'm going to. I'm coming to you too, royalty. When was the last time you just said, Dad, Mom, is there something I can do for you? You're like, I do chores all the time. No, I'm talking about that. Might be time you might see your dad and mom a little downtrodden. And I say this, a blessing is when a young person shows concern for somebody else. Pastors have bad days. Parents have bad days. Sometimes we're bearing burdens that you have no idea. I'm not asking for sympathy, but I'm saying this. It would be a good thing if he learned to be like Saul. When he stayed little, he says, you know what? I'm going to show some concern for my parents. I wonder if my parents are concerned about me. I better check in with them. Ooh, that didn't go over so well. We always got to find you. What are they doing now? And kind of wringing our hands. Oh, what trouble? What are they doing on their phones? Who are they with? Where? It'd be awesome if you just said, hey, I'm just going to let you know. I'm over here. I'm doing this. Oh, it just gives us that peace of mind, doesn't it, parents? Saul had, it seems to have a little bit of concern for his parents. And say, hey, let's stop. Let's check in with Dad. I love that. That's pretty good. How about this one? I've kind of already hit it. Never get too big to understand the need to care for the man of God. Look at verse 6. And he said unto him, his servant, behold, now there is in the city a man of God, and he's an honorable man. You notice there's some respect there? All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither. Peradventure, he can show us our way that we should go. I've got to keep moving. I see respect for the character of the man of God. I see respect for the counsel of the man of God. I see respect in caring for the man of God. Look at it says in verse number 8. And the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. I'm not developing all of these. What I see is a person, they know where the man of God is and say, he's an honorable man. Can I stop again and just say, we're a little too free with how we treat the men of God. Yeah, that's right. What we need, look here. I'm being a little angry today, a little father-son, father-daughter chat. We need some she-bear moments. And that's personal because I'm bald. But I got these bad boys still going. Yeah. Can you imagine the next time the Fairhaven youth group is sitting together, I'll pick on the guys. Colt, Titus for sure. Where's Alec? Alec's probably playing war somewhere. There he is. A couple of guys are sitting there, and they start just saying a little bit of negativity about Pastor and Mrs. Mitchell, who, by the way, have never said, we, the pastor and Mrs. Pastor of Fairhaven Baptist Church, bow down before us. They don't say that. Yeah. Amen. But they're just, you know, they're a little stiff. They're a little It's just me. And out of the corner, around the corner comes two she-bears. Now, this is Bible. And they come out, and I don't know if all 42 of those children were killed or not. It just says they tear them. I would like to think, sorry, Stephen, I would like to think one just got his arm ripped off. First case of armed robbery in the scriptures. Sorry, it's out of hand. Sorry. I'll pause. Now, can you imagine? Here's their testimony. They go home, blood dripping out of their arm. What happened to you? You with me? We were mocking the man of God. You know what that would do in our youth groups? And I'm not saying the men of God ought to be worshipped, but they ought to be honored. Let the elders that rule well be worthy of double honor. Fellowship Baptist Church, shut your lips when you're talking about Pastor and Mrs. Moody, and these are some humble folks here. They're not shoving stuff down your throat, but you better be careful that you get to learn to honor the man of God and care for the man of God and show concern for the man of God. It would be an awesome thing if you just didn't just get part of, well, the church is going to do this for our pastor and Mrs. Pastor. It'd be an awesome thing if some of you individually would just say, you know what? I just want to do something for the man of God. That would encourage his heart, I promise. I don't know if this is going over well, but I'm having fun. Never get too big to see where what we really are. I'm going to skip over verses 15 to 20, but Saul enters a city. He meets the man of God, and Samuel says, you're going to be the king. Look at verse number 21. And Saul answered and said, am not I Benjamite, of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest? He doesn't seem like a guy who says, yeah, I'm going to be the king. I got this together. It doesn't seem like he's interested. What he's saying is, I'm too small. I can't do this. It almost sounds like another Benjamite. His name is also called Saul. We know him as Paul. He says this in Romans 11 and Philippians chapter 3. He says, I am of the tribe of Benjamin. Interesting to note, this is what he says, Ephesians chapter 3. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Get this, unto me who am less than the least of all saints. That doesn't sound like a guy that's pretty big on himself. How about this one? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9. So he graduates from the less than the least of all saints. He's going to graduate to the next level. He says this, for I am the least of the apostles. Huh. This is the apostle Paul. He graduates to the next step towards the end of his life. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Help me out. This is the Apostle Paul. He wrote half of the New Testament. He was a preacher. He started churches. He did missionary journeys. Look up his persecution. But what he said is this, I'm not going to be too big. I'm going to understand exactly what I really am. Can I say this? He simplifies and says this, Brother Cooper. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. You better stay little. I stop and think, 50 years, Fairhaven's been bussing kids in and bussing kids in and bussing kids in. And I can't understand, Brother Eric, why in the world God saw fit to choose the Ramos family out of the mix and says, I'm going to pull them all out. I'm going to take them out of the miry clay. I'm going to set them on a rock. I'm going to put a new song in their heart. I'll say it this way. It's by the grace of God that God did that. And when I forget that, I've gotten too big. You better never forget what you really are. Saul's doing pretty good. Chapter 9, verses 22 to 27, I'm going to bypass that, but never get too big to fellowship around the Word of God. Verse 22, he's fellowshipping with 30 persons. Verse 24, so Saul did eat with Samuel that day. Verse 25, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. Verse 27, but stand thou still a while that I may show thee the word of God. When was the last time you just plopped down and said, I want to talk to the man of God for a little bit, outside of being in trouble? There were maybe 10 times that I talked to my pastor when I was in high school, probably 9 of which I was in trouble. And it's not his fault. Let me say that again. It's not his fault. Isn't a conversation a two-way street? Help me out. I know you're fading. That's all right. Hey, Pastor, can I just sit and talk with you just a little bit? We're allowed to do that? Well, I mean, Saul, I think he's got to figure out. He says, I'm going to sit in fellowship with the man of God. Doesn't that sound like the Lord Jesus Christ as a 12-year-old? Stay with it. We're just looking at Bible here. At 12, he was sitting in the temple asking and answering questions. The typical 12-year-old, can you imagine?
We're going to discuss eschatology today. Like,
was that like a new sport in the Olympics? Never get too big to avoid the limelight. Look at verse chapter 10. My mom was really good at reminding me of certain things. When I would tell a lie, she would always say, lying lips are abomination. I've heard that numerous times. But there's another phrase that she said so often. Let another man praise thee. She still says it. Sometimes I'll be traveling, driving home, and I'll call and say, hey, Mom, how's it going? She'll say, oh, you should have been at church today. You needed it. Like, love you too. I'm 47, Mom. I mean, I'm the baby of the family. I thought I'd get a little more love than that. But she taught me pretty well, let somebody else do the praising. I'm tired of people talking about themselves. It'd be a wonderful thing if we just sat around lunch today and just talked about Jesus. Why don't you share your testimony of how God saved you today with somebody at lunch? Chapter 10, when Samuel had called all the tribes of Israel, verse 20, to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by the family of Matri was taken, and Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. When they sought him, he could not be found. Now, I've heard a lot of negative preaching about this, how Saul was just like afraid to take responsibility. I don't know how old he was. Some have said 18 years old, some say 20. I don't know. But understand this, there's never been a king in Israel. This is the first time. And he's just kind of randomly, in a sense, you're going to be the king. I think I would hide too. So let's be careful that we don't jump all over him. And so he's like, I'm going to avoid the limelight. I'm going to stay out of the mix. I don't want to be up front. I'm not trying to have this false humility, but I'll tell you what, it better be clear that we're not going to lift ourselves up. Be careful. You better stay little. Let me stop for a minute. If you've always got to be in the limelight, there's a problem. I'm going to talk about relationships just for a second. Maybe I shouldn't even talk about this, but I'm going to. The Bible says, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. It indicates that there's a search. So fellas, if you got a girl that's just always chasing you around, and every time you turn around, oh, you're there again. You're there again. I'm just going to say this. You might want to avoid that type of person. Look here. Look right here. This is big. The one you want to look for is when there's a fellowship going on at church. Stay with me. This is as practical as you're going to get. I tell guys this all the time. If you can't find her, because she's helping the pastor's wife in the kitchen, that's a girl to start noticing. But if she's always like, I I'll be honest, that'll annoy you after a while. I think I've seen my wife about an hour a day this week. She's rejoicing. She wants zero recognition, I promise. I promise. Girls, start hiding. No, you understand what I'm saying? Greater York Baptist Church needs some girls that are hiding. Fairhaven Baptist Church needs some girls that aren't just want to be in all the limelight. Everybody see me? I'm all for singing. Amen. I'm glad you guys can. I'm all for playing instruments. I'm glad you guys can. I'm glad you can play the piano. What we need is some people that aren't afraid when everybody else is taking their nap on Sunday afternoon to say, I'll sweep the bus. I'll mop the bus. Nobody's there. Everybody's getting their nap. I got this. I'll take it. I'm just going to hide because I want God to notice me. And when God notices you, he'll put the guy that he wants you to have. So Saul's just like, eh. And again, you can argue with me about why he was hiding and if he had no character. He had a big task ahead of him. But guys, look for a girl that's hiding and doesn't want the limelight. Saul's doing pretty good, and I need to be done. Told you I had 12 pages of notes and I'm at number 6. Hate the limelight. Let me end with this. Never get too big to be patient and kind and forgiving. I'm combining 3 points right there. See that? So Saul becomes king. Verse 25, then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom, wrote it in a book, laid it up before the Lord. Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. Get this now, verse 27. But the children of Belial said, how shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents. Oh, here's the king. I deserve something. But what did he do? He didn't tee off on them. Let's be patient. Let's be kind. Let's be forgiving. Verse chapter 11, verses 11 through 15. Again, I don't have all the time to go there, but verse number 13, and Saul said, there shall not a man be put to death this day. People are saying, who are the people that wouldn't stand on our side? Let's kill him. Saul said, nope. You're going to see things shift in just a little bit. He's got things going for about the first year or two. I'm going to say this. People are going to talk about you. Pastor Parrish says, anyone ever said an unkind word about you? I have. I'm being honest. He was here, and there are times, I'm going to be honest with you, I probably said some negative things about him. Shame on me. Maybe he's been in LaBelle for a year, year and a half. And I'm not going to ask like publicly, but he's probably had some people say some negative things. I know here, and then in Massachusetts and Idaho. Sorry, Idaho people, you weren't. It's not really fun when people talk bad about you. Read Psalm 64 sometimes. It's unbelievable. People are going to talk about you. And didn't they talk about our Lord? First Samuel 13. I'm just going to read these off real fast. But look at verse number 1. Saul reigned 1 year. And when he had reigned 2 years, something happened. He started rejecting the word of the Lord. Chapter 13, I'll just read verse 12. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering. Samuel says, thou hast done foolishly. Get this, thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. Here we go. When you get too big to obey the word of God, it's going to start getting spiraling downhill real fast. You start on the path of rejecting God's word, you will lose discernment in your family. You notice, do you remember the passage where Jonathan went and won a great victory? He ate a little bit of honey, and what did Saul say? Kill him. What happened to that patience and that kindness? I'll tell you what, when you get on the path of getting away from the word of God and rejecting the word of God, your family's going to get a little bit dysfunctional. He treated his own son that way. You get started on the path of rejecting the word of the Lord, you will lose diligence in your fight. God said, utterly destroy Amalek. He says, I'm going to do it the way that I want to. Can I say this? You cannot serve God your way. It's not acceptable. Well, I'm going to serve the Lord, but I'm going to do this. It doesn't work. You start getting away from the Lord, you'll lose diligence in your fight. You'll start justifying your disobedience. Hey, I obeyed. Well, I hear some sheep and some oxen. I see Agag. I love Samuel coming and says, you know what? I'm going to hack the man in pieces. Wow, you think Moses was bad? You think Pastor Burke is mean? We heard about Aaron. You start throwing your friends under the bus. Remember when he was approached at the people? Jealousy sets in. Here's David, watch me, a son-in-law. And really, for the rest of Saul's reign, what do you find him doing? Trying to kill people, his friends. Remember how he treated Samuel? But there's another guy named Abimelech. You know why young people are tearing up the men of God and the people of God? Because they're getting away from the Word of God. Doeg says, yeah, I saw David getting help from Abimelech. Saul goes and says, kill him. 80 plus priests were slain with the sword. And I'll end with this. You reject the word of God, you're going to have difficulty in forgiveness. Years ago, there was a Christian professor. He was listening to his students, and he was teaching them, this is how you do this, kind of like a pulpit speech. This is what you're supposed to do. And they were presenting their oral readings. One young man rose to begin his recital. He held his book in the wrong hand. The professor started shouting at him, hey, take your book in your right hand and be seated. He was kind of all over this case. Very harsh rebuke. But the student didn't respond, but he held up his right arm and he didn't have a right hand. The other students got a little bit nervous. What's going to happen now? The teacher, this professor, hesitated. Then he walked down the aisle to where that student was. And with tears in his eyes, he said this, I'm sorry, I never knew about that. Will you please forgive me? The story was told sometime later in a large gathering of believers. At the close of the meeting, a man came forward, turned to the crowd, raised his right arm. It ended at the wrist. He said, I was that student. The professor led me to Christ, but he never could have done it if he had not made the wrong right. Now turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 15. We'll be done. Shame on us if we're too big to forgive. Look here. Scherzer, look right here. I'm talking to you. Aren't you thankful that Jesus hung on the cross and said, Father, forgive them? And they weren't even asking for forgiveness. Stephen had a pile of stones around him. I don't see Saul and the others saying, oh, forgive. He just said, forgive them. Shame on us. Shame on me. If I can't forgive. Should be a common thing in your homes when your parents, if they mess up, if you mess up, you should be able to say, I forgive, I forgive, I forgive. Saul got too big. Look at verse 17. Samuel says, when thou wast little in thine own sight. Stay little. I'm glad we can say, Brother Aaron, I can, I can, I can, I can. But you better never forget, it's through Christ. Stay little. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Stand to your feet. If the Lord's dealt with your heart, would you come? Do business with him at your seat. I'm warning you today, stay little. Saul had it together. Will you stay little? Would you come even before the instruments play?